tied together.
Fabulous weekend, and welcome to the offerings here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and nooks and crannies, and all that good stuff in between. My flyover favorites in the Midwest. What a wild weekend for weather, without a doubt. Snow dumping all over parts of Arizona. Some places, 12 inches of the stuff. Yeah, 12 inches. In Arizona. Now, certainly we know that there are places in Arizona that are at higher altitudes and are capable of getting snow, but I'm just not thinking the day after St. Patrick's Day that 180 miles of I-40 in Arizona is going to be closed to some serious, wicked weather. Heading into the weekend in California, it was like a monsoon. You know that old song about it never rains in California? I guess that wasn't true. Some people were very much aware of being underwater in Southern California.
It's freezing. I don't know why it came out. The rain stopped for a minute, so I thought I could get in and out, but rain came back. We're going to hit a red box and get some movies and stay inside with the fireplace.
I'm enjoying it since we really haven't had any rain. I mean, I'm loving it, so actually I want it to even pour harder if you ask me.
All right, an excuse to stay inside, huddle, and check out a movie. Did you notice somebody said Redbox there? That's music to the ears of the people who started that company, by the way. You go to the grocery store, you swipe your credit card, and $2 later you're walking out with a movie. That's the idea, especially when it's nasty weather. Whether it was Arizona or California, the weather kept people indoors, which might have been a good thing because they saved on gasoline. They weren't going out to eat or driving someplace that might have been a little further down the road from their home, since they're paying over $4 for gas. You know, looking at what the average is, it's over $3.87 in most places. It's $4 a gallon in 7 states: Alaska, California, Connecticut, Hawaii, Illinois, New York, and Washington. Also, $4 in the District of Columbia. Hawaii, you don't even want to know. Walk. I think I'll walk to the luau. And prices that are lower, Wyoming, for example, they're doing okay gas-wise. I say okay, so, you know, $3.50. But we've paid for 9 straight days we've seen it jump up significantly, and then the past 2 months we've seen it go up 75 cents in a lot of cases, and that's a lot of money. Start to hit that dollar mark. People are feeling the pinch. People are complaining. Why aren't we lifting the moratoriums? Why aren't we drilling? Why aren't we opening up the strategic oil reserves? Wasn't there a meeting with David Cameron, the British Prime Minister? How come it wasn't tapped into then? There's lots of tension with Iran. Are we going to have an all-out war with them? Is that going to take a bite out of the oil supplies? And the answer is, of course it will. And will it make the oil prices soar? Absolutely, if that were to happen. And we don't get any of our oil from Iran, but people that we're dependent on do, so it does affect us. The strategic oil reserves, if we have to tap into them, why are we not tapping into them? Pain at the pump. It's a hot political issue. Everybody's wrestling with this one. Washington Post, ABC, I happen to see this as I'm the poll princess. If you never listened to my show before, a lot of times I'll spout what the polls are saying because I know for a fact that the strategists are looking at the polls. It's a kaleidoscope of what people are thinking. And if they were nothing but crap, nobody would bother paying or have them done because they wouldn't really be a good indicator of what's happening. So this poll coming out of Washington Post, ABC News, said that more people disapprove of how President Obama is handling the economy than a month ago We've talked about those numbers. That's despite improvement, supposedly, in the job market. So you have guys like Newt Gingrich who pledges to get prices down to $2.50 a gallon. Rick Santorum, who just lost Puerto Rico to Mitt Romney, blaming the Prez for blocking the expansion of domestic energy production and arguing that, you know, the high gas prices are part of this whole economic slump. And Mitt Romney saying that the Prez should be hanging his head over his crazy energy policies. And he accused the president of slowing domestic production. I think Barack Obama is slowing domestic production because the agenda is the push for green. And to not open up enough of those federal lands to drilling. And what about fracking? The regulations on fracking are crazy. And there is some controversy with fracking because you're talking about pumping water into rocks to get gas. But and there's fracking going on. But that would certainly ease the burden of what we're talking about. Ultimately, it comes back to the one thing, the pain at the pump. So as a result, more people are saying, forget it. Even if it's a pain, I'm jumping on the train. If I have to jump on the train, I am going to jump on the train because it's going to be cheaper for me in the long run. And that's what matters, right? Jay is listening to us in the great state of Kentucky. Hello, Jay.
How you doing, Kate?
I'm great, buddy. What's on your mind?
Well, you're hitting a nerve with these gas prices.
Of course.
Well, my diesel is running right around $1,800 a week, and now it's up to $2,600 a week. The reason Obama, I guarantee you, they're watching the polls. He's got his strategists watching the polls, and America has short-term memory, and it's not close enough to election time yet for him to do anything about this. And he's going to wait, I guarantee it. Probably September, October, we'll start seeing the prices drop because some things will start getting done that he can, in November elections, he can start saying, well, look what I did, look what I did, look what I did about these gas prices.
Yeah.
So that's the time frame we're going to see it. Did anyone nail the score this past weekend?
Nobody nailed the score. Some came close, but nobody nailed it. I know. Next time.
Can I rant for just 1 second, if you don't mind?
Do it.
With all the crime, domestic violence, drugs, robberies, everything going on, I'd just like to thank the Virginia State Trooper that pulled my wife over in our Hummer today for having darked out windows. You know, everything that's going on, she wasn't speeding. He just pulled her over because our tent on our driver's and passenger window was too dark.
And, what a
waste. Wrote her a ticket for it. So, way to look out there, Virginia State Trooper. Way to fight the crime out there. No points on her license or nothing, and wrote her up for too dark of windows.
I feel her pain. Oh, that's bad. That is lame. Oh, I'd
well,
be human.
We bought it like that, too, so, and we've only had it a couple months.
And oh, Jay.
She went to visit her sick mom, and on her way back, they stopped her on her way
home.
She
got that. That's crazy. Tell Mrs. Jay we're sorry. That's ridiculous. She got gypped. Absolutely, I agree. Safe travels, my friend. Coming up on the flip side, speaking of what Jay just said, all the crazy things that are going on, the crime, the stupid shootings that make no sense, stabbing last week in Ohio that everybody was talking about. Coming up next, the ATN head shrinker to talk about what we can do.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800 686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer, localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and of course all the nooks and crannies in between. You knew how horrified I was, and I talked about this last week, how sad it was that a man went into court with his family in Texas, opens fire in the parking lot, kills one older woman, wounds three others, and then we find out the very same day, another man had three knives, stabbed four people. It was random stabbing in Columbus, Ohio, before he was shot by police. And then, of course, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the school shooting in Chandron, Ohio, and how awful it was for the people there. It's been a long time, but boy, we have thought about her, and we're so glad to have her back on the show. I was famous for calling her the ATN head shrinker, Judith Barr. She is a psychotherapist and the author of Power Abused, Power Healed. And she can certainly shed some light on what is going on here and all the question that we're asking ourselves about the stabbings, the shootings, and all of this violence. It's scary, very, very sad stuff. Judith, thanks so much for coming back on America Tonight.
I'm delighted to be back with you, Kate.
You know, that was a very, very sad day. I think a lot of times people will say they don't even want to turn on the news or listen to things like this because it makes them crazy, drives them crazy thinking of what people are doing to each other. But maybe we can learn something from this. What is going on? Is there something different happening out there that we're not connecting, or is it just that there's more ways to find things out that are happening, or is it just that there's more stress? I guess I'm asking you a whole bunch of questions about these two terrible incidents, three really.
Yeah. It's these three and many, many, many more individually and communally and nationally and globally, and I would be glad to help shed some light on it. If at any point I'm answering and you have a question to help clarify, please feel free to ask me the question, interrupt and ask me. I think the fact that we know more, that we have more access to what's happening, is making it even more intense for us, because then we can know that somebody's been shot in Texas and somebody's done stabbed people in Ohio and what's going on abroad. And I remember the day with the two, the Texas and the Ohio incidents, I remember seeing them both within some period of time and feeling shocked myself. I think that's one of the things that happens is people feel shocked. And most people don't understand. And so what I want to say to start, Kate, is that violence comes from our not having had the help to build our capacity to feel our feelings. And what this does is it leads to our feeling we can't bear what we feel, and this leads to our looking for escape hatches to get away from those feelings. And those escape hatches are usually something that in the end, that if not obviously right away destructive, in the end it is. Hurting or killing somebody else is an escape hatch. Hurting or killing ourselves is an escape hatch. Running away, unless it's like, you know, to save your life from somebody that's attacking you, but like running away from what's going on in your life is an escape hatch. Getting, and then more minor ones, not as obviously violent, are things like getting sick, drinking, drugging, overeating, sex, pornography, and the lengths of destructiveness to which those can go. The violence we're seeing is not just individual, but communal responses to not being able to, not having the capacity, not being able, or thinking we're not able to bear our feelings. So, do you have any questions so far?
The escape hatch, you're talking about this, and we should say that Judith mentioned before we come on the air, if you go to powerabusepowerheal.com, she's got an article that's terrific about that escape hatch from March of 2008. And you've been talking about this for a very long time. So it's about healing. So how,
yes,
it's the abuse of power, too. I mean, how do we get people, how do we help people to get to that point where they can reach out before something destructive like this happens?
It's a combination of, I want to answer your question, and it's a combination of that, and it's a combination of something we need to learn and teach ourselves and our children. And before I say that, I just want to say you're naming it an abuse of power. If we can't feel our own feelings, if we believe our own feelings are too much to bear, and we act out our escape hatches in destructive ways, like killing somebody else or killing ourselves, or with suicide bombers doing both, then we are abusing our power. And the task is, and this is, it's, I'm not going to pretend with you, Kate, the task is a huge task.
Yeah.
Because our society and our world have not learned that we need to be able to feel our feelings and express them safely and build our capacity to do that and build our capacity to know which feelings are here and now feelings we need to act on and which ones are from when we were children that get triggered. But now we're not children. Now we're in grown bodies, big bodies that can do destructive things. So imagine you've got a little girl or a little boy who was neglected. Let's say you've got a little boy who was neglected and deprived by his mother. And he grows up and he marries somebody, and his wife isn't going to do something he wants her to do. And he gets triggered. He's still in a grown up man's body. He still thinks he's in the here and now, but what's really happening is it's triggering that place in him as a little boy where his mother deprived and neglected him. And now he's probably going to act out in some way that's at least hurtful, if not destructive, toward his wife. Or let's say a woman was abused by her father and she's in a job where her boss is a man and he abuses her.
Mm.
And or maybe he just raises his voice at her, doesn't yell, but maybe he's frustrated and he just raises his voice, and she's now, not realizing it, actually inside herself back as a child with her father really abusing her. And she strikes out in a woman's body with a woman's head.
Right.
Strikes out at the boss. So that happens to us all the time that we're triggered like that. And if we can't feel the feelings, if we don't have the capacity to feel our feelings, and then we won't have the capacity to be able to tell which feelings are here and now feelings that we need to act on and which ones are triggers from the past that we need to use for healing. Make sense?
It totally makes sense. So, Judith, the part that we could all, I don't know, grab onto, something that maybe we could do, and you use this word, and I love the way you use this word, in healing the violence in our world. What can we do? You've explained the scenarios. It makes sense how it can trigger something and how it can happen. What can we do? Because I think we all feel pretty helpless, actually.
Well, that's one of the feelings.
Yeah.
If it triggers our helplessness, and this is perfect, Kate, thank you. If it triggers our helplessness, and we feel like we can't bear that feeling of helplessness, one of the things to do is help yourself build your capacity to feel your helplessness. And one of the ways you can do that is to track back when in your life you have felt helpless and see what's getting triggered from when you were a little child. I mean, we remember a lot more than we're aware. And some of it's unconscious, but if you really want to know, you can start asking yourself to help you, you know, when did I feel helpless like this before? When did I feel helpless like this before that and before that? When was the earliest time that I can remember feeling helpless? And then even past that, well, I was a little baby once, so I must have felt really helpless. And if you need help doing this, don't just struggle and get frustrated doing it by yourself. Find a good therapist who works with people with their feelings and helps them heal to the root and helps them build their capacity to feel their feelings instead of trying to shut them off and, you know, get away from their feelings and get the help from a therapist to do that. I think each of us needs to do that, Kate.
Yeah, I agree. I think people need to explore feelings, and it's a tough thing for some reason for a lot of people to do, although luckily there's more people like you around, and there's more of a push to do that, and let's hope we're headed in that direction. Judith Barr, thank you so much, as always. I'm going to send everyone to powerofyouspoweredheal.com. It's a great website. It's a great resource, and we'd love to have you back on again.
Thank you so much, Kate. I always love being back with you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet debt when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at zero debt in 90 days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Folks, Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand, eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now, the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Packs save you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Did you know that thousands of industrial toxins, including aluminum, heavy metals like mercury and lead, and even nuclear radiation, have contaminated the air, food, and water supply and are lodged inside your body? These contaminants are poisoning your body from the inside out. No, the government doesn't care, nor will they save you. Do nothing, and these accumulated toxins may slowly lead to degenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, heart disease, or cancer. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Liquid Zeolite is the best natural all-round remedy to safely and effectively remove all kinds of toxins from your body. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, heavy metal poisoning, memory loss, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe and amazing. Try a Liquid Zeolite today.
The familiar theme from The Godfather. Doesn't it just take you back? Oh, yeah. Still ranks up there as one of the all-time best movies. My favorite movie. A lot of people would list that as their favorite movie, too. I liked the first and the second. Didn't like the third so much, but loved the first one. I'll tell you, I think every guy that I know from the job that I worked in New York at The Fan could quote every single line from that movie. I can quote a few, but I wasn't as good as they were. In the wings, each and every week, he joins us. Stephen Shohet, the author of the book Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends, of course, of the movie. So who better to talk to about this? As he pointed out to me when he sent me a note, it's the 40th anniversary of The Godfather. Stephen, did you love The Godfather?
I did. I love The Godfather Part 2 as well, and I really enjoyed the book, too. But the one thing Coppola did I think was really smart, the book did have some Jacqueline Suzanne-type moments. It had a lot of Johnny Fontaine, the Frank Sinatra singer character out in Hollywood, a lot of side sexual stuff. And I think what Coppola did was he really focused on the violence and the rise to power rather than the side plots. And I think it takes a lot to adapt a novel when you understand what's going to work cinematically and what's going to work story-wise. And I think he deserved a lot of credit for that, getting the right story across. In fact, the studio wanted him to modernize the story, have it take place in the 70s, maybe have Robert Redford play Michael. And it was Coppola who insisted that it took place in the 40s, even though he had the one unfortunate scene where Michael and arrives in Las Vegas, and it kind of looks like there are a couple of hippies walking across the screen who happen to just sort of get into the film somehow. But other than that, you know, he kept it strongly in the 40s.
Yeah. Paramount Studios, did they know that they had this big hit on their hands?
Well, not right away. I mean, when it came out and people were going to see it in March 1972, and they're willing to see it in snowstorms and things like that, they had massive distribution on it. See, normally movies at that time just played in one major theater, like say the Chinese Theater in Hollywood or Radio City Music Hall, one major theater in each city, and then it would take weeks for it to trickle into the smaller neighborhood theaters, kind of like a hardcover book that becomes a paperback after a while. And Paramount, thinking, well, we got a 3-hour movie here, in order to make money off it, we're going to have to get a wider distribution. So it was much more accessible than the normal movie. And right after it came out, Paramount announced that it was going to make more money than any movie ever up until that time, which it did, over $80 million. But when they were making it, they really had doubts. And I think the doubts extended to the director, who really didn't have much experience and had a lack of confidence in himself. The doubts extended to the casting, where Paramount Studios did not want Marlon Brando, who hadn't had a hit in about 15 years, and did not want Al Pacino, who didn't look people in the eye when he met him and when they met him at the studio and didn't inspire any confidence. And a general thought, the gangster pictures didn't work. There had been this movie called The Brotherhood back in 1968, which starred Kirk Douglas, a gangster movie that had failed at the box office. So all of these things made for a level of uncertainty right until the picture was released.
Yeah, crazy. And thinking about The Godfather, and thinking about, I was just thinking about this before we went on the air, the great lines, the great Don Corleone and the lines from that movie, like the one where he says, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. You hear this all the time. The Don saying that to Johnny Fontaine about Waltz, and, you know, of all the lines that are in the movie, that might be my favorite. But the Don, played by Marlon Brando, that wasn't initially who the studio wanted to go with, correct?
The studio didn't. Coppola did. I mean, Coppola said only two people can play the Don, and that's either Olivier or Brando. And Olivier, suffering from health problems at that time, that really helped Brando. Brando, again, he had such a bad reputation at that point. He was largely blamed for the movie Mutiny on the Bounty. Now, that was a 1960 movie that went way over budget. And it wasn't entirely Brando's fault, just like Cleopatra wasn't entirely Elizabeth Taylor's fault. But obviously they're going to get the press, and if they're late to work and they show some kind of unprofessionalism, it's going to be more noticed than an executive who can't make a decision about what should be in the script. So he was going through a lot of blame, wasn't considered to be very hireable. Coppola had to really fight for him. There was one time Coppola was having a meeting with studio executives, and one of them slammed his fist on the table and said, "Hey, Francis, as long as I'm at this studio, Brando will never play the Don." And Coppola actually got up, fell to the floor, started pawing at the ceiling like he was having an epileptic fit, and these executives gathered around him just staring down at him, and finally the guy who was really opposing him said, "Okay, Francis, you can have him. Just get up, will you?" And there was more convincing that had to be done. The other thing that really helped was Brando really wanted the role and really went and talked to the executives and told them, like Charles Bloodhorn, the head of Paramount Studios at the time, that you might have heard some bad things about me, and yes, some of them are true, but I promise I'll be on my best behavior for this film. And he mostly was, although the one thing he had all the time, and it turned into some funny moments, was he just simply refused to learn his lines. And he had the lines written all over the place, you know, on tables, and what the other actors would do. I mean, at first, like Robert Duvall, James Caan, and some of the other actors, they're in awe of the great Brando, but then they realize wait a minute, he's really a character here, not learning his lines. So Brando would be looking at a card, and instead of the line of dialogue he was supposed to say, there'd be some wedding invitation that the other actors had switched with the cue card. So there were all sorts of laughs on the set, not for Coppola, not for Pacino, both of them afraid of being fired, but everybody else was kind of having a good time.
Talking about what happened there and the casting, Al Pacino, I guess the studio wanted Al Pacino, but you mentioned something to me about he almost got fired. Is that true?
Yeah, well, actually, they didn't want him. Again, that was Coppola who'd seen him in a movie called The Panic in Needle Park. But yeah, he almost did get fired because he seemed so unconvincing. He didn't have the strength to do it. But what changed it was when he actually had the scene where he, I hate to give the movie away, but where he kills two people. That really impressed them. I think one thing that was impressive too, and Coppola got into an argument about this with his director of photography, Gordon Willis. They had the scene where Al Pacino announces that he's going to kill the other mob leader Salazzo and the bad cop played by Sterling Hayden, and Coppola had to really fight to convince Gordon Willis to pull the camera in to have a close up of Pacino in that scene where the camera pans toward him. Toward him, which now is a common thing. At a big moment, you'd pull the camera in on somebody, but at that time, it just wasn't done. Another thing that wasn't done was the darkness of the movie, keeping the Godfather in very unlit rooms. People weren't used to seeing that, and that got a lot of negative notes from executives when they were making it. And that was one of the reasons why, Coppola wanted to show how powerful and sometimes evil the Godfather was. When you think about it, every time they act, they're really killing bad guys throughout the movie. And in fact, one of the things about the book, The Godfather, was that the characters that the Godfather was dispensing justice on were so much worse. Like Jack Woltz, the guy who ended up with a dead horse in his bed. In the book, he's a child molester. He's a way worse character, but still, there was that element of power of the darkness, and people were used to seeing Doris Day movies brightly lit. So that did get Coppola into a bit of trouble when they were seeing the daily rushes. It was a very nervous time for Francis Ford Coppola up until the movie came out and it was well received.
Yeah, no kidding. And now, look, it's like I said, it's on the tip of everyone's tongue. Always mentioned as one of the best all-time movies. Every guy I know loves The Godfather.
Yeah.
Without question. It doesn't matter how old you are, you know The Godfather. Stephen Shohead, Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Pick the book up. It's great. Has all kinds of stories like we were just talking about. Thanks, Stephen.
You got it, Kate.
All right, 40 years of The Godfather. Wow, 40 years. This is a good rental. If you have not seen The Godfather, it is worth renting. You'd probably get it for a buck now, who knows, or you could get it in a bin somewhere because it's been out for so long. But there are just some classic lines in this movie of, I think, all the quotable movies that are out there, things that just stick with you. This had just chock full of them, and a lot of them were from Marlon Brando, a lot of the lines that he delivered. There was one where Don Corleone said something to Johnny Fontaine, and he said, "You can act like a man." He slapped him, and he said, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you?" That was a great moment in movie history. Remember, you can always check us out by going to americatonight.net. sending me your thoughts that way through the email or hooking up with us on Twitter or Facebook. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events and, yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
Making the final turn on America Tonight as we come around the bend, wondering what's happening with the Republicans and the march toward Tampa. It's all about delegates, and the delegate counts are in favor of Mitt Romney. This is a familiar theme. Mitt Romney, who won Puerto Rico and ends up snatching those delegates because he had over 50% of the vote, walks away with an additional couple of dozen that he can add to the amounts already that are pushing him closer with the 20, pushing him closer to the total that he needs to get the golden ticket. The golden ticket is what I call the nomination for the Republican side of the race. So late Sunday night, 61% of the Puerto Rican votes counted. Romney had 83% of them. He gets 20 delegates to the national convention, because he got that over, like I said, 50% of the vote. We know the number by now. It's 1,144 delegates needed to clinch that nomination. Rick Santorum, said he was going to be in the contest for the long haul because Romney is the weak front runner. Here's what Mitt Romney had to say.
Senator Santorum has the same economic lightweight background the president has. How in the world could he possibly have voted to raise the debt ceiling five times without compensating cuts in spending? Didn't he realize what would happen with deficits getting larger and larger and debt piling up?
It's true. You can't deny that. He did vote for it time and time again. It was an automatic thing, though, that would happen in Washington, and that perhaps is the biggest problem of all, that things are automatic. Oh, well, we always raise the debt ceiling, and we do it again and again and again, and Romney's right there. They kept on doing it, but yet never had the money coming in. It's a poor way to run government. It would be a terrible way to run a business. So you see, the numbers don't add up. The numbers add up, though, for Romney. He promises that Puerto Rico will be the 51st state. What do you think? Think Puerto Rico is going to end up coming the 51st state? Do we need to add more states into what we already have going on? More payouts, more people to be responsible for. We got to shrink that government, folks. Everybody is shrinking away from the high prices at the pump. It continues to really be the buzz in the backyard. I always say that on America Tonight, if we're taking a temperature of what's happening in Mississippi or Connecticut or Illinois or great state of Texas, great state of Florida, you know, any of the myriad of places in this country, south or east or west, we got a common denominator. We might have different accents, but everybody is unhappy, I think, unless you got a whole lot of do-re-mi in the bank, and then all bets are off. But anybody else who is flying in a different stratosphere couldn't feel more squeezed by the high price of gas. And it is a familiar theme that bubbles up every couple of years. I remember in 2008 when Barack Obama was running for president, people were complaining about $1.87. Can you imagine? $1.87 would be like a breath of fresh air. That'd be like money to buy extra meat during the week for what we're paying at this point. $4 in some cases, actually even $5. I've said it before, but I truly think the absolute over the top, you have bust the bubble. You have burst open every possibility of winning the White House again, re-election, would be $6. If gasoline got to $6, I don't care Manny Moe and Jack who's running on the other side. I don't see that people are gonna vote for Barack Obama. But you know, here's the thing: it's called political maneuvering, and with political maneuvering, when you're the president, you can release some of the stock in the strategic oil supply, make that deal with David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, and wait until it gets closer to the election. So reel people in and say, listen, I'm your hero. I said I would take care of it, so we had no other choice. I was really trying to make it come out a different way. But if we have to do it, we're going to do it. And this is the thing. When you call the shots, you can pull that. And that's what I think happens. And probably the way that plays out is not a surprise to anyone. If we were all script writers in Hollywood, it wouldn't be much of a stretch to say, you want to win the election? Wait till you get closer, get further down the stretch, and then pull out all the stops. Because people don't want to pay $3.85, $4, $5. Wyoming, the lowest gas price right now in the country. Can you even take a stab at what they're paying in Wyoming? It's not $5 or $4, it's $3.40. About $3.40, could vary a few cents either way. But most people aren't paying anywhere near that. In fact, 7 states already have gas over $4. And you might live in one of those states like Washington, listening to me right now, perhaps in Tacoma. And you know what I mean, or Spokane. You know what I mean when you pull up and it's pretty bleak. There's something about pulling out that extra money to pay to fill up your gas tank that just sticks in people's craws, because they know that there are other alternatives. There are ways to lower this pain, and it's something that everybody faces, because how are you going to get from point A to point B? We don't have trolley cars. We have mass transit, but a lot of that mass transit doesn't work for a lot of people. Maybe over the weekend, to kind of lighten the load here, you were part of a bracket. How did your bracket do? Did you have North Carolina State over Georgetown? 66-63 was the final score in that one. Florida, Norfolk State, did you have Florida in that one? How about my Ohio University Bobcats over South Florida? Woohoo! If you did, you're looking pretty good there. Cincinnati over Florida State, 62-56. You know, really, with the brackets, the fun of that is trying to look for those Cinderella teams to see how far that they'll go, and then pick the obvious ones to move forward. But I think it's pretty tough in some cases to pick the obvious ones, because there are a few teams that toppled that normally you would assume that they would be there in the end. So perhaps you are poised to walk away with that extra gas money. Maybe in your pool you're going to win a couple of $100. Hey, Matt, you were probably watching some of this college hoop over the weekend. I was watching it here and there on St. Paddy's Day at an establishment called Humperdinck's playing darts, and I was watching Baylor, and I was watching a couple of other teams. It was it's been an interesting tournament so far. A couple of the favorites have fallen early going. Oh, he left. He said, I'm not going to talk to you about brackets. Are you kidding me? I don't want to talk about brackets. So I think that's what's happened, though. UNC moves into the Sweet 16, but unfortunately for them, and this may be one of the bigger stories, they had a key guy go down. I mean, they had a key injury. And if you've got, you know, you've got two solid guys and the rest of the team is pretty good around you, but usually you have one, let's say you have one superstar and another guy that might be on the same level. When that happens, boy, it's tough to, you know, it's not the pros. Who do you have coming off the bench? And if you're looking at some of your freshmen, that can be pretty tough. So watch North Carolina. They may be a team that now has trouble making it further through. They really did. They rolled over Creighton easily. But they've got a star point guard that was hurt, and Kendall Marshall with a broken wrist means Tar Heels might not make it into that Final Four. Ooh, a broken bone in his right wrist. What was he doing? He was fouled when he was moving to the basket, and he was knocked, and that was all she wrote. They couldn't put him back together again. Ooh, tough break.
Look what you did, you little jerk.